Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to the Man Cave, episode number 43, the Richard Petty edition. Welcome again. I am Crew Chief Tony Long here with the professor, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I am better now.
Better now?
Better now. For two reasons. One, the sippy cup has been refilled.
Well, that's good news.
And that's real good news. And two, I don't know what the hell happened, but about 30 minutes ago, you could have seen the sweat dripping down my face because I came down into the man cave a little early, get everything set up, show notes prepped, printed, nice and neat, everything for us, and I hook up the stuff, and it wasn't connecting, and I'm like, oh shit, yeah.
Not a repeat.
No, this was not good, so I'm uninstalling, reinstalling, and knock on wood,
we're good.
Here we are. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, no,
cool.
No worries, man. Good weekend of racing, and
Dega didn't disappoint.
Did not.
Well, I guess in terms of it didn't disappoint, and we got what we were expecting from it.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I just saw a thing on Twitter. Kevin Harvick just got his car restarted.
Oh, great! So awesome. That's good to know. Good. Are they letting him finish the last 12?
Because
that'd be great. Tony, got a big show lined up today.
We do.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, one of the more fun guests that we've ever had on, and real excited about. Matt DiBenedetto.
Yes, sir.
He's going to be joining us in a little while.
Yes, cannot wait.
Yeah.
Do anything fun over the weekend, sir?
Just watched watched the Lions, whatever that was. I don't know what was a bigger wreck. Was it Talladega or the Lions game?
U of M, MSU, and the Lions were all on the road. Both college teams did their part, you know, even though it was neither Michigan or Michigan State had a very easy win over their opponents, and they should have.
Yeah.
Michigan almost lost back-to-back and
to Indiana.
And MSU only won by a field goal over Minnesota, but then there's the Lions, you know. Yeah, so I turned the Lions game on.
That was awful.
Oh, it was brutal. You know, I thought I was going, you know, I watched, you know, first quarter or whatever before green flag. Lions. On the 1 yard line, Stafford fumbles the ball, touchdown. Did I really just see that?
I know, right? Yeah. I'm like, they're just going to get a safety.
Yeah.
And then they're like, his arms go up. I'm like, he dropped the ball.
Worst case, right? I'm thinking, okay, safety, fine. And then I see the ref's hands throw up, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, there's no way that just happened. Yeah, I know.
So then, I shut it off. I go to the race, and a couple buddies text me and they're like, have you seen the Lions game? You might want to turn it back on. It's about to get interesting. I turn it back on. They're only down 7. I'm like, oh, shit. Well,
but that's what the Lions do.
Yeah,
they tease you. They get right back in it. They get close and then lose it again.
Uh-huh.
They find new and creative ways to lose each.
Well, I saw two plays. Both were on their 2 yard line and Stafford giving up touchdowns in the end zone.
That's all you needed to see. That's
enough. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude, he's in.
Do you have him?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Oh.
I have him in my fantasy league. I have Jameis Winston in my fantasy league, Dalvin Cook in Odell Beckham Jr. And I have two teams and the four big boys gone.
Well, maybe we can do a trade.
So, hey, there's always.
I think I got Prescott open in one.
There's always next year. We're rebuilding.
Big thanks again to NASCAR Chasm for coming on last week. Tony, it was a really good week last week. Everybody seemed to get a kick out of the stories and the show. It was a lot of fun.
Does not disappoint.
No. And we are now over the 1,700 follower mark on Twitter, which is awesome.
And 16,000 downloads.
16,000. Yeah, it's rocking and rolling.
Been a good year.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yes. Not so bad.
Yes.
Well, you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Why not? We'll pause whenever D-Burrito calls in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Tony, trucks, Talladega this weekend. It was the pre-race or whatever, you know, it set the tone for what Sunday was going to be.
Absolutely. It was great. I thought it was fantastic.
It wasn't the crap show that Sunday ended up becoming.
Right.
Johnny Sauter dominated the first half of the race, winning both stages. And something we've seen a lot lately in trucks and Xfinity are some part-time guys taking it to victory lane, which is pretty cool.
You know, because, you know, here's the thing. They can go for broke. They're not in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. They just, you know, hey, if they walk back to the pits with just holding the steering wheel, oh well.
Right?
You know, that's, I don't know what else to tell you.
So Parker Kligerman, who got the win, he's got seven truck races this year, brought home the checkered flag, seven races, you know, and is able to go out there and keep it clean.
He's good. You know, but if you know, I heard him on the radio, he made mention. He said these guys literally don't know how to draft, and he was taking full advantage of them. He's like, fine, you guys don't know how to do it. I do. See you later. I got this.
See you.
So that was pretty good to see him win. But man, John Hunter Nemechek,
dude.
Oh my gosh, his car was beat to death. Truck rather.
He's out. He's in. He's out.
Gosh.
He's in.
Yeah, right?
That was exciting.
That
for
was
that.
Super cool.
Because you know, never thought I'd develop a desire for certain guys outside of my own driver to want to win. But now that we've followed the sport in a more close level and developed relationships.
Yeah, we have relationships with these
people.
You know,
so I wanted John Hunter Nemechek to get into that damn thing.
I agree.
That was awesome to see that. Tony, big shout out to our friend up in Canada, Brian West, whose favorite driver, DJ Kennington, finished on the lead lap and in 15th place.
He did, man.
Oh, that
was
pretty cool.
I noticed that too. Yeah. Yeah, DJ's made a couple of appearances doing well.
Yeah,
too,
a couple. Yeah,
nice.
The plate races. Yeah. Yep. Tony, you picked Ben Rhodes last week, who had a rough day and finished 23rd, but unfortunately, his win at Vegas really didn't matter how
he
did at Talladega.
He's in.
And I took John Hunter, who had a solid day and needed some things to go his way. He needed that race to play out exactly as it did.
I have no idea how that truck went as fast as it did.
Seriously.
It was really crashed.
I mean, duct tape and
Big time.
But, you know, it unfortunate for Kaz Grala, Briscoe. You know, they, you know, got caught up in wrecks early and, you know, just weren't able
you
to rebound from that.
You can't recover from that. Yeah.
No.
That does stink.
Nope. So, Tony, we got Grala and Chase Briscoe are out. We're down to six with Bell, Sauter, Crafton, Rhodes, Cindric, and John Hunter. That's going to make for an interesting four races, basically. They're going to cut it down to two again. But the next round for the trucks, Martinsville, Texas, and Phoenix, two short tracks in there. Those trucks are going to be beating and banging, and I'm looking forward to watching that.
Good racing.
Yeah, yeah. Tony, trucks are off this weekend or will be at Martinsville in a couple weeks. I find it's kind of interesting. Both trucks and Xfinity got a lot of off weeks in the playoffs, you know, just because they don't have the full schedule there. But do you got any predictions or anything for Martinsville?
It's going to be hard to keep Christopher Bell out of it. I don't see that happening. You know, he's such a good short track racer, too. You know, so, and, you know, you get to tracks like, you know, Phoenix and Texas that Toyotas have the horsepower. So I don't see things going wrong for him, but
I hope and would like to see Matt Crafton get another win
too.
In there.
Yeah.
I think a place like Martinsville, someplace he's been many times, he might be able to take advantage of some of these younger truck drivers out there and sneak in a W maybe at a track like Martinsville.
Yep.
Anything else from the trucks there, sir?
I think that's it, buddy.
That's it.
Well, yeah, man.
Xfinity was off this weekend. They have their first race of the second round this week at Kansas. Then they have another off weekend before heading into Texas and Phoenix. So, Tony, what do you think it's like having an off weekend in the playoffs? You know, is that, do you get out of sync or does it help rejuvenate?
I think it gives you time to go back to that car that you were saving for Texas or Martinsville or Phoenix or whatever, and you get to go back and massage it a little bit more. You know, it just gives you a little more time to go back and triple check everything and just takes maybe you're able to take a breath. You know, you're not so rushed in the chaotic, you know. So I think they'll be more prepared for that final push.
Okay. So, Tony, they're going into Kansas this week with the Cup guys. We got Byron Allgaier, Sadler, Hemric, Custer, Poole, Reed, and Tift. You got a pick going into Kansas.
Man,
you know, mile and a half track, you know, it's, you know, cookie cutter, if you will?
I'm going to go with Daniel Hemric.
Hemric. Ooh. First time. Get his first win, eh?
Yeah, I'm going.
I like that. I'm going to go Custer.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll take Custer.
I like that. Okay. I can live with that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I like it.
Should be a good race.
I'm looking forward to it. And I'm telling you, I'm calling it right now. If Sadler doesn't get a win, he's out.
All right.
He's got to win this week at Kansas, or he is not making it to Homestead.
Okay.
Bold-ass prediction right there.
You know what, though? It could happen, because I'm going to tell you, these guys that are behind him are running well. You know, so, yeah, he better get it going.
Yeah.
So what do they cut it to, four?
Four, yes. Yeah, they're going to go from 12 to four. Or, I'm sorry, from eight to four. They're at eight right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's in third right now, so he's not far away.
No,
so.
And the sad thing is he's got all those playoff points from winning the regular season, and we talked about this earlier, or a couple weeks ago. That's great he got those, but points racing isn't going to get you a championship
once you
hit the playoffs.
It's going to be tough. Yeah,
so
they're going to make it hard for him.
So. Well, and especially since you don't have the Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski's going out there getting the win to where the points racing is going to be sufficient for you.
Right.
You know, we've got guys going out there that are going to get wins that are potentially in the playoffs and going to get those playoff points to carry over. So I think he needs to refocus the readjust his focus maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. So want to hit some social media?
Wow, we're rolling through this. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes or Podbean or wherever you listen to us, and make sure you set it on auto-download so that you're the first to get it when we upload our new shows. Our contest on Twitter, we're less than 300 followers away. We've cut it from 2,500 to 2,000 to give away that signed Lap Traffic t-shirt from the Eldora Truck Field this past July. So make sure you tell your friends, give us a follow on Twitter @LapTrafficPC. Tony, are you ready for some new follower shout-outs?
Yeah, absolutely. I always enjoy this part.
Over on Facebook, Kayla Gibson, big NASCAR fan, over at New Mexico State University. Welcome to the show.
Oh, awesome.
Michael Allen Keener from Louisville, Kentucky, and is a mechanic over at Hester Motorsports. So very cool. Welcome to the show, guys. Over on Twitter, Lisa Shanana @LLShanana, big Larson and DiBurrito fan. So I am going to assume you're going to like this show today. Big fan of NASCAR and a big Patriots fan. So you have won me over tenfold. Floyd @Racing3Wide, former dirt racer, loves NASCAR from Ohio. Stanley Carr @StanleyCarr17 from Greenville, South Carolina, big NASCAR fan. And I'm betting he's a Live PD fan, since Live PD is in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Tara @MattCooper, big NASCAR fan from South Dakota. JL @JLowen14, big Harvick fan, Blaney fan, and Dallas Cowboy fan. So I'll forgive you for the Cowboys since you're a Harvick fan. Don't forget to check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. We got $15 t-shirts on there if you want to help support the show. We got hoodies. We've got travel mugs. We got phone cases. You name it. It's out there for you if you want to help support the show. This past weekend, I sent out some stickers and koozies. After talking about it for about a month, I finally sat down and sent those bad boys out. So show us some love. If you got a Lap Traffic koozie from one of the two Michigan races, or from Eldora, or if we've sent you one, I know you have tweeted us some pictures, and I forgot to save some of those. I'd like to put them on the website. So maybe this weekend we'll do a Lap Traffic check-in with your koozie. Tweet us a picture with it. Got a nice cold beer in there.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's nothing cooler than, hey, I know you're not at the race, but I am, and I brought you guys with me. So that's
very cool.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yes. And if you've been to a race, send us some pictures. We'll throw them up on our website. I encourage you to check out the website. It's pretty cool. I update it weekly and check out fantasy and all that kind of stuff.
It is pretty good. And if you guys ever want to send us anything, as people do from time to time, and we always appreciate it, you can send it to us by mailing it to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072.
Tony, you ready for some fantasy?
Not really. I picked Brad before the show, and I changed it mid-show.
Well, we were both talking about picking him.
Yep.
And so seven players shook things up by taking Brad because people across the standings took him. So congrats to Aaron, Chris Lowther, Colby, Steve Merrick, Mick, Chris Coble, and Wes, all for picking Brad Keselowski, which definitely shook some things up. We now have a two-way tie for first because Cody did not get any points this week. Mick ended up picking Brad Keselowski, so we now have a two-way tie for first between those two with 215 points. Two-way tie with Aaron and Chris Lowther, 205. Wes is in third by himself with 200. Chris Coble is in fourth by himself with 195.
That's where I should be.
Rich is in fifth by himself with 190. Tony, you slipped down to sixth with 185.
I lost some ground. I should have been in fourth.
Yeah.
You know, it's still anybody. Man, there's still a lot of people in this.
There's still a lot of people in it to hit the top five.
But I wonder how many of them are running out of, you know.
Well, that's a good question. Very good question. You know. So things could get interesting. As we head into the last five races here, make sure you get your picks in this week for Kansas. You're only going to get emails for me from another 5 weeks, and then we'll start it back up next season. Of course, as I continue to vet some new websites to host our fantasy thing. The one thing, I'm not even going to lie, the one thing I'd like to be able to do is hide the standings on whatever site we do so that that's a feature and a reason to visit our website.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I've checked out Yahoo and a couple other ones, and it doesn't give you that option as, like, the commissioner of the league to, like, hide standings on Yahoo's website so you can keep them for your own.
I got you.
So we'll see. You know, we'll pick one, we'll make sure everybody is well-informed, well in advance on that one.
Yeah.
So, again, make sure you get your picks in. Probably in the next week or two, we'll get out our poll for our end-of-the-year awards. I've gotten some emails and some suggestions for that. So if you got any suggestions for what your favorite race of the year was, who your driver of the year is, parody account, things of that nature.
Who's their favorite guest this year?
That is a question on there. So and I'll have all those. Who your favorite guest was, and you know, we'll have a little fun with that at the end of the season there.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yes, sir. Tony, are you about ready to? You know, it's a good thing we kind of went a little quick through the first part there because something tells me D Burrito is going to have some fun stories, and we might go a little long with him. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You ready to talk to Matt D?
Is that him?
I think so.
All right, joining us on the line is driver of the number 32 Go Fast Racing Ford, Matt DiBenedetto. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good, man.
Awesome.
Doing good. Welcome back to the show. You joined us when we were at Michigan in August and had a good time. Thanks for taking time again. But you had a crazy Sunday. Walk us through the day. I mean, you led some laps, and it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was interesting for sure. So we, we're just trying to play a little bit of a smart strategy and kind of, you know, I would push up through the field a little bit, but if I got stalled out, I would fall toward the tail and just ride and be smart. And then, you know, we played some pit strategy a little different than others, and we led some laps for a while. And then, of course, when the big one happened there toward the end, we were lucky enough to make it through it with very, very minor damage, so no big deal. And then there was some confusion, and we ended up, we came to pit road with, you know, Jimmy Johnson and Austin Dillon and a couple others. And, you know, there was a communication error. I don't know if it was whether NASCAR didn't call it over the radio, so my spotter didn't ever get informed when the red was coming out. But it was, you know, so either way, he was under the impression that the yellow was still out because they had not said, you know, over his scanner. NASCAR had not said the red was displayed yet. So we came down pit road and stopped in our pit stall just so they could survey the damage but not touch the car. So they didn't work on the car, and the red came out or was out. I don't know. Well, communication problems somewhere. And then ended up they disqualified us. So our day was done. And so I went from being excited that we made it through, you know, the big one, and then going straight to getting disqualified for some sort of a communication problem.
I was going to ask you about that. You're listed officially as parked. And I was wondering what happened. So it was the same kind of communication that happened with Jimmy Johnson that he was talking about. It must have been, huh. Wow.
You know,
crazy.
Yeah. I got to tell you, you know, from a fan perspective, that's somewhat frustrating to see because you would expect NASCAR to be a little bit more efficient because, you know, it's not their first rodeo at Talladega.
They've done this before.
You know, and it seemed to be the case with all of the cautions towards in stage three that things just weren't on par. Like it seemed to be like glitches were there and things were off in terms of communication to the teams, in terms of when the caution came out and when teams were able to come down pit road. You know, I remember that first caution when Junior had come down to pit road, got his service and came out. There were a lot of cars that came down pit road thinking it was open and closed. Did you get that sense too, Matt, or am I just thinking out?
A little bit. Yeah. I don't disagree with you because at the end of the day, you know, if there would have been clear communication from NASCAR to my spotter that Red's out, you know, don't pit or something like that, then obviously we would have stopped and we would have never came down pit road.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's the, you know, at the end of the day, there was a communication error there somewhere between them and this and my spotter and all the spotters that, you know, clearly should be addressed because, you know, that's ridiculous for us to get parked for.
Sure.
You know, I understand the rule, but, you know, if there's no communication to the spotter who is telling me, you know, what's going on, if my spotter doesn't know, then, you know, that's, a weird deal. I feel like that was just poor communication on their part that ended up biting us.
Sure. Well, and that's the thing too. Like it's one thing if it would have been a communication error between your spotter to the crew chief, but obviously there was a communication error from NASCAR to all teams. Yeah. Because this happened to more than just one person.
And there was, I noticed someone did come in and they took the right front wheel off the car, but that's not counted as working on the car. If you leaned against the car, that's working on the car. But
there's a breath mark on the windshield.
Apparently, I need to reread the rule book a little more. But anyways.
So Matt, so news broke this past weekend or last week that Landon Castle, who you're no stranger with on social media, will not be back at FMR next year. Everyone on social media knows the ribbing you guys like to do. Can you share with us like one of your funniest or your best ribs that you got on Landon?
Man, we've done so much stuff back and forth, but he definitely, I got to give him credit. He won for sure. He beat anything I've ever done to him by ordering the $100 of room service to my room at Dover. So I give credit where credit's due, and he totally won that battle. And then I made a joke and took a video and had him afterwards. I had, the next week or whatever, I had him sign one of his diecast cars that I have. So I had him sign the box, and then I just threw it away in the trash right in front of him. So that was funny. Obviously, no match for what he did for me, but it was more like a little moral victory to me.
And you played a little prank on your wife too on social media.
A prank.
No.
How long is this show?
There's too many to even choose from. Yeah.
Well, apparently she doesn't like snakes.
No, we keep on taking this. It's starting to get a little out of hand because it started as, I don't know, I've just always tortured her and always play pranks on her or that or the air horn or snakes or whatever it is. But now it's starting to escalate a little further because, well, it started as like one rubber snake. Then now I have like 10 of them. So now I throw, you know, like I have 10 rubber snakes to throw on her. Then it went to we were at the pet store. And we were looking at real snakes and messing with her with that. So now and now me and my buddy are talking about getting a real pet snake like a corn snake or a ball python, and we can actually get out of the tank and then mess with Taylor with. So this it just keeps on escalating.
That's funny.
That's really funny.
You know, I love, we talk about the social media stuff that you do. You engage with your fans probably better than any driver, Matt. And I really like that approach. You know, you take like the Richard Petty approach. You know, Richard Petty will stand there and sign autographs all day long. He'll never say no. I think that's really great. But you're also known, besides being a great race car driver, you're also known for your eating prowess. I mean, could a fan walk up to you while they're eating? Is that a safe thing to do?
Yes, they pretty much have to walk up to me while I'm eating sometimes because I just eat so often. Yeah. So it's a nonstop thing for me.
That's funny.
Hey, Matt, so NASCAR keeps talking about making the playing field a little bit more even. One attempt that's going to be made next year is this new rule engine. There's talks that NASCAR is going to be using a common pit stop gun for all the teams. Can you talk about that a little bit? How, from your perspective, as having a smaller team, is this going to – will it help you guys? So how do you see that playing out?
I'm going to be super not politically correct right now.
Open.
We're all about that.
And I'm going to say every time that there's a rule created, all it does is cost more money. So there is no rule that will really, not very many rules help the smaller teams or really help any team, because all that happens is it's a never ending vicious cycle. And I don't mean this in any offensive way to anybody, but
don't worry. NASCAR doesn't listen to us.
I just wonder this all the time. I'm like, how in the world is this not understood that you create one rule, like, okay, you can't have any skew, and then there's problems of people shaking their cars and doing all this nonsense because now they're figuring out, you know, they spent money to engineer ways to get around that rule. Then they come up with a new rule. Okay, well, now we have this rule. Then teams spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to engineer a way around that rule. Then they come out with a rule for that rule, and then it costs money to engineer around that one. And I think you get what I'm saying here.
Yeah, no, that actually makes sense.
It's a never-ending cycle. It will literally never – they could create, you know, they could come out with 10,000 rules, one upon another, and all it'll do is just keep costing more and more and more and more money because, you know, every team, that's their jobs, is to have a competitive advantage on everybody else. And if you can find a gray area, or, you know, there's very limited areas where you can – you know, try and be better than other teams. So, you know, you spend a lot of money to find tiny little gains. So it's just, you know, I hate rules.
Would a spending cap help at all?
You know, I really honestly don't know or have the solutions on that. And I try not to speak on anything that I don't feel like I'm fully educated on. But on the rule stuff, that is something I'm pretty passionate about. And I've, you know, absolutely. I feel like I don't know how people couldn't see that. That's all it does is just cost money, and you know, you create rules, and it just is. It's a never ending. So they will, that problem will never get solved ever. But you know, on the spending stuff, I don't know. That would be a better problem or question, honestly, for my crew chief, who's been around a lot longer than I have, or maybe, you know, I think you know, Denny Hamlin. He had an article out, and he had some interesting points in there, and some of those guys are a little more educated on maybe some solutions than I am, you know. But the, some of the old school racers that have been around a long time, like my crew chief Gene, probably have some of the best ideas on that stuff because they've been around so long, and they've seen the transition into why racing has become so expensive. So, you know, they probably have a better understanding of what are the real problems.
Yeah, sure. Now is there maybe with question for your crew chief, is there a limit to how many rounds of wedge you can put in a car, or is 12 the maximum?
I think I found the maximum by doing the 12 rounds for sure. he might kill me if I ever suggest that.
Well, you know, I actually, so, you know, being, I'm a former crew chief, and I'm like, my God, I hope he undid that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it was funny. When I looked at the video, I was like, wow, it looked like pretty good. Like, I actually did put the wedge in there, but I didn't stick the bolt all the way down in there. So
I was wondering.
I made sure to not actually do the 12 rounds of wedge in it, because then they would have been pretty mad because the heights would be off by just a little bit.
That's exactly where I was going. I mean, what the heck happened here?
Hey, Matt, so let's talk about your season a little bit here. 19 top 30s, 9 top 25s. Now, to some of our listeners, it might sound a little weird to highlight that. But when you typically only hear about, national media talking about top 10s or top 5s, but you guys had a really solid year, and it's exciting to see you guys compete at certain places like Talladega, Daytona, Indy, and even your favorite at Bristol. How are you guys able to take the momentum from this year over into 2018?
Yeah, you know, we're really working on some good stuff for next year. I mean, we obviously, everyone saw the strides that this team has made just from last year to this year by, you know, me coming on board. I'm nothing without my guys. So, you know, we brought on my crew chief, and then he brought on, you know, some guys that have been with us too for some time. And, you know, we've just assembled a real good group of people. We're still on a very, very small budget, but it has been a good year where we've taken the team's average finish up by, you know, a ton. I mean, so most improved team in the garage. I feel very comfortable saying that. We're definitely the most improved in the garage by a lot.
I think that's a
so
fair statement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's cool. And, you know, that can be overlooked, but we're proud of that. And, then looking into forward to next year. So this year, I should rewind. This year, we started... Some of our guys started January, I think it was maybe January 4th, or it might have been a little after that even. So we had literally 1 month at most to prepare and try and turn around a whole team from being, you know, a 38th to 40th place team to being a competitive yield. That's literally all the time we had.
Wow.
Now going to this off season, I'm looking forward to it because now we're going to be starting right after Homestead and have the whole off season, which the off season is still short, but our guys are going to be working like crazy, and working on our race cars, lightening things up and just trying to make them, you know, make everything nicer for next year and improve our bodies. Hopefully we can, work with Ford, get a little help from them and maybe go to the wind tunnel. We're trying to do anything we can, get all the help we can get. And obviously the main thing is if we can get more sponsorship, we can do that, man. We're definitely going to be able to keep on improving the team. So it'll be nice for everyone to work hard and get the cars and everything better. And then hopefully in the meantime, we can bring in a few more dollars, get a little more sponsorship in. So then we can, you know, have some nicer stuff. And so I expect for next year for us to, you know, be even better.
So what's a realistic goal for next year then?
I don't know. I would like to, it's hard to tell, but, you know, honestly, this year it's looking like we're going to be about, right now we're, I think, 31st in points. We're right ahead of Landon Castle, I believe, and then David Reagan's right in front of us, and then we're behind a couple people. Right in front of that is somewhere, I think, like Danica Patrick's close, and if we could, you know, at the end of the year end up in the 20s in the owner's points, then, you know, really you're beating a lot of really good quality teams at that point, you know. Sure. Week in and week out, we can right now have, you know, some good breakout runs like we did at Indy and the Daytona 500 and even, you know, runs like Charlotte, which can be overlooked. We finished on the lead lap in 23rd, had a shot at the top 20 there, but, you know, at a track like that, those are good days. And we've had a lot of runs, like that, where we just outperform a lot of people that, you know, we really shouldn't. And this year we had a stretch of races where we just had some parts failures and, some little bugs we had to work on. We had some bad luck and that kind of hurt us some points. So, you know, looking into next year, if we could finish in the 20s and the owner's points and have a lot more of those breakout runs and try and keep on doing what we do, which is try and outperform teams that are on much higher budgets than we are.
And you guys have doing that on a pretty regular basis. It's pretty, sure. It's not uncommon to see you guys in the top 25.
No.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
I think it's that's well done.
And you guys only got 15 guys in the shop, right? If I recall right, from Michigan.
Yeah, I think we might be up to about 16 now.
Okay,
so,
all right.
It's still as small as ever. Really small operation. It's cool. Good group of guys. Everybody has to multitask like crazy. I mean, nobody carries one hat at our team. They're all doing a bunch of different stuff. So it's. So, yeah, it's cool. But, no, week in, week out, we're, racing around people that, in all reality, that we shouldn't. I mean, if I was them, if I was the other teams and they're and running around the 32 car that I know is on, you know, a fraction of the budget, I mean, I would be mad. You know, we really shouldn't be beating some of them. But, you know, I just know I have confidence in the people that we have, and we make the most out of what we have. So when, you know, and if we have any changes or anything that we want to implement, it's easy because we have a small group of guys. So maybe that's a little advantage that it's great, but that's a little advantage we have over the big teams. I feel like we don't have very many communication errors, and that's why, you know, part of also why we're able to make the most out of what we have is because it's such a small, tight little family. So, you know, not many communication problems, things like that. So we're just able to make the most out of what we have. And, you know, when we can be racing around guys like, you know, Michael McDowell or Allmendinger or Chris Buescher or Paul Menard or Danica or, you know, even David Reagan, Landon Castle, and, you know, many others, when we're racing around those guys or we beat them, you know, on some weeks, whatever it is, those are satisfying weeks for us because all those guys are on significantly higher budgets than we are.
That's you guys are doing phenomenal. There's no question about it. You know, as we're, you know, silly season is heating up. Man, a lot of crazy. I mean, who's got a car, who doesn't? How nice is it to not have to be part of that conversation? You're signed for 18. You announced that earlier this year. How nice is it to sit out this one?
Oh man, this is a first for me. I don't even know how to act, actually. I've never went into an off season with that sort of comfort or stability or knowing my plans for the next year. And you know, I don't want to say I'm being able to just totally relax, but in some ways, you know, I'll be able to relax. I'll still be working day in, day out on, you know, trying to bring in sponsor stuff. And I can't ever just stop working and sit and just do a bunch of time off. I, you know, kind of workaholic when it comes to my racing career. But yeah, it'll be so nice, though, in the sense of where I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Worry about, do I have a job? You know, what are my plans? None of that. We have a good group of guys. They're all on board for next year. And they're working through the off season, and we're making our stuff better. And I'm working on trying to bring a little more sponsorship to the team, things like that. We're all doing our jobs, and we get to just focus and you know exactly what we're doing next year.
You know, so speaking of sponsorship, and you said it twice there in terms of you helping to get sponsorship. One thing I can honestly say we really haven't talked too much about with some of the guests we've had on the show is the driver role in getting sponsorship. Can you talk to that? What is your role in terms of, you know, I know you're not calling the places, but, you know, what's the driver role in terms of helping to land that deal and get the signature on the contract?
Matt's got one of the best PR girls in the business.
I know.
That is true. Well, from my standpoint, I'm a little more active than most people. And, you know, there's couple different ways for, like, you know, obviously a lot of the drivers have, you know, like Kyle Busch or something, for example, has a big responsibility in representing a large company like, you know, Mars and M&M's. But so, you know, he has his job. But as far as my job, you know, or with some of these younger guys that are coming up through the ranks, you know, a lot of them, and more power to them, trust me, I wish I was in the same situation, but a lot of them just have a lot of money to bring, or they have, you know, either they have a sponsor somehow, or they have family money or whatever it is, and they're able to buy the rides. I've never had that luxury, so I've had to work really hard the old school way just to get here, and I've been pretty fortunate. And now, you know, my team, I came here and I've been lucky enough through my Cup career to make some great contacts, and I had a couple of smaller sponsors like EJ Wade Construction. They stepped up more this year, and they, you know, love sponsoring me, and I was fortunate enough for them to come over with me over here and, you know, try and help out our team. So that's, I mean, they are, without them, I wouldn't have this ride. And Cosmo Motors, another one of my sponsors. And then, you know, our team had some sponsors as well. They had our primary sponsor, which was Kappa and Can-Am and CorvetteParts.net, which were some of their sponsors. And so, So either way, what I'm getting at is, you know, like I had to bring a little bit through what I've been fortunate enough to, you know, the connections I've made, and they had obviously bulk of the season sold from, that was their connection, their sponsor. But, you know, how it works now is so different. You know, it used to be the driver just drove the race car and sponsors just sponsored the race car. You know, now it's like, I feel like I'm almost having to become like a marketing major. It's like I'm a marketing, I'm having to try and almost become a marketing expert, and I just happen to drive race cars, you know. But, and as much as I hate that, it is that way, you know. That's the only way that I can, you know, if I want to have a long lasting career, I've just realized that's what I have to focus my efforts on. And, you know, being good on social media and, you know, creating a brand for myself, and then hopefully, you know, aligning with some companies and growing, you know, those partnerships and getting more and more sponsors as I go. And that's, I mean, we can't do this stuff without the sponsors. We're dead in the water without sponsorship. So that's what I feel like I focus a lot of my efforts on, and I've shifted my focus to that a lot this year.
Yeah, no, it's, and you do a great job of it. But how are you not sponsored by a burrito? Like Taco Bell, nobody, nothing, really?
Like, man, I know it. It's crazy. It
doesn't even seem right.
That the burrito thing's taken off so much, and no burrito sponsor.
It's crazy. So you're on the track week in, week out. Season's winding down. Do you have a favorite out there to win this thing?
You know, I don't know, because there's a few of them that I would definitely be pulling for. Well,
I remember you saying when we talked before at Michigan, you said when playoffs start, these cars get really fast. And you're right, they do. So I was just wondering if there was anyone that really is standing out.
You know, obviously, like anyone else would probably say, I think the one that deserves to win it the most, and I'd probably be heartbroken for them if they didn't, is Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, sure.
78 team. They are such a good team. And Charlotte was a perfect example of how good of a team they are. You know, our practice got canceled. They started the race. Their car wasn't good. They worked together as a team, worked on their car, good pit stops, everything, a whole team effort all day, and they won the race. So that just shows how good they are as a team. So in my opinion, those guys deserve it more than anybody. But also, you know, I'm friends with Kyle Larson, and I think he's obviously one of the ones to beat every week too. And so I would like to see him have a shot at the championship. Kyle Busch, even though he's, you know, not in the locked in right at the moment, and he's got some work to do, I never count him out. So
no, I don't think I'd ever count him out.
There's a lot of guys that
out,
are deserving.
Yeah,
sure. A lot of guys that are deserving for sure. But you know, if I was picking just based on the whole year and who I think is the best team overall, I would have to go with 78.
Sure, yeah. They're dialed in. Hey Matt, you want to let everyone know, just in case they don't, where they can follow you on social media and shout out to your sponsors or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, my, let's see, Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram are all, the handles are all Matt D Racing. And then my Facebook page is Matt DiBenedetto Racing. So they can all follow me on there and see, you know, what all I got going on, if I'm pranking my wife or, you know, when I'm doing the racetrack or having fun with fans or whatever it may be. And then obviously, you know, we have a bunch of great sponsors, like I was mentioning before. So, you know, EJ Wade Construction, Kappa, Can-Am, you know, Ford. We got to run a Ford paint scheme the other week, so that was cool. Ralph Gates Engines, CorvetteParts.net, Cosmo Motors. I'm going to see if I can rattle all these guys off. I'm forgetting a couple of them right now. Nest Iwata Spray Equipment. That's another one. That's a sponsor of mine, actually. So, yeah, we've been fortunate. I mean, we have a lot of good people that are part of the family.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, you're saying, you know, it's, you know, Matt DiBenedetto and, you know, racing on Facebook. My daughter's is 15, and she watches the races, and she knows who you are. And I mean, she says, wow, I wonder how hard it was to learn how to spell his name when he was in elementary school. She goes, I'll bet he was 12 before he could spell that. You know?
Oh, seriously, especially if you get in trouble and they make you write your name over and over. Oh, it was awful.
I just thought that was funny. So, hey, big thanks again, Matt, for joining us. Matt DiBenedetto, driver of the number 32 Go Fast Racing Ford, for joining us here on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Good luck the rest of the year, buddy.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Might be one of the coolest guests ever.
Yeah, you know, they're all so nice, right? Honestly, but, you know, you can just tell Matt's got a passion for the sport. You know, he's having a great time in life, you know, and you know, watch his videos that he posts, and just one of the genuine good dudes out there.
You know, we've said this before, you know, we're 43 shows in. I think I did a total. I think we've had over 20 guests, different guests.
Yeah.
Not one person, and we've said this before, has ever made a mention to time.
No.
You know, which is, you know, I even thought like, oh, we're getting a little long here. We probably should cut them loose, but kept, you know, like, and that's what I think is the coolest thing. No one rushes, you know, it's whatever you guys need, ask whatever you want, yep. You know,
and
which is cool.
And to be honest, we always ask our guests, you know, we want to make sure that we talk about what you want to. If there's anything you don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Right. We won't talk about that.
Yep.
But everybody, every time. No. I'm good.
Yeah.
We can talk
let
about
it roll.
Anything you want to.
Yep.
You know, let it rip. So,
yep.
Just good folks.
It's awesome.
Man.
Awesome.
Good people. And Ryan Ellis does a great job.
Yeah, she's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, she's a great PR girl. So, Ryan, they're joking. Ryan's a good racer himself.
Yeah.
He ran Road America and Xfinity earlier this year, but he is, as Matt would say, it's his PR girl. So, that was the joke there. But they're good buddies. And,
absolutely.
Ryan's a great guy as well. So.
Well, you want to talk some cup racing, sir?
Talladega.
So your boy wins stage one, Blaney stage two, and your boy brings it home.
Yeah,
checkered flags.
Ford's had it figured out.
Tony, one of the takeaways that I got from the race were there were a ton of issues getting to pit road. Jamie McMurray, I had no idea what was going on there. Like, hey, I got my turn signal on. I'm coming over.
You know what he said, though? He thought everybody was coming in.
He did.
So he was going to try and be on the outside of that and try to stay out of it.
Yep.
Was it what he, no, was I, actually, yeah. He was actually trying to.
He thought he was
not,
doing the right
he
thing.
He thought he was doing the right thing. Yes. He was totally trying to not do that. He's like, apparently somebody didn't know that.
Get the memo,
me.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was that was interesting. Tony, what did you think about the Fords as a collective manufacturer on a particular pit strategy?
You know, I thought they were on their own thing. They had their own thing going on all weekend. You know, it's interesting. Edsel Ford was there. Edsel Ford Jr.
Oh, no kidding.
From the Ford family, and he'd never been to Talladega, so that was cool. They like there's pictures of all the drivers meeting with him and to bring home the win. You know, for the Ford family,
sure.
was pretty big. So
yeah.
they had a team. It was totally a team effort. And, man, they rocked it all day.
Yeah. Tony, the race went a little long with three red flags. And it was starting to remind me, and I put this out on Twitter, it was reminding me of the Brickyard.
Sure.
In terms of the red flags, the length of the race. And after the second red flag, when half the field now is collected, I was glad that they threw the third red flag. I mean, they almost were hand-tied. They had to throw the third red flag. They couldn't let the cars limp around the track. You know, I don't think time was becoming an issue in terms of daylight being questionable like it was at Indy. So I was glad from it that standpoint, at least, that they let and was going to make sure we were at least going to race these last few laps there.
Yep. I was totally good with that. You know, but, you know, you got to remember, I mean, they got to make it safe.
Sure.
And there's a lot of nuts, bolts, you know, pieces of cars scattered everywhere, and that takes time.
Sure.
To clean all that stuff up.
Yeah.
And I think they do a good job. I mean, it's you know, 2.66 miles. It's a lot. There's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think that, you know, they did a good job. You know, they're trying to get everybody. They're not trying to stretch anything out either.
Sure.
But I thought they did. Overall, I thought they did a pretty good job.
Tony, let's talk about the man of the hour at Talladega. Mr. Dale Earnhardt Jr. First of all, got the coolest gift ever, possibly.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Was able to take it around the track. Like, that's a feel-good story that you just need to walk away from that and go, that's awesome. That's why people show up to races.
Yep.
That's why this place was packed. Like,
yep.
That was very cool. But now I have to ask you, when qualifying was over, how many conspiracy theories were you writing down?
It went through my head. Well, I mean, you know, so you have Dale Earnhardt and Chase Elliott on the front row.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, honestly, like that sold some tickets.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it did. It just did.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
A few more people tuned in, maybe. And, hey, that's what's good for the sport, right?
Yeah.
You know? Tony Jr., literally, people were tweeting us, which I thought was funny as hell. Junior's the luckiest MF-er out there. No, seriously. Now he was slipping through every one of these wrecks, like, by a sheet of paper.
Yeah, he
and
was.
Getting through there clean.
I'm glad he did, too. Because absolutely. He said, man, it's a relief because any of those wrecks could have hurt me.
Absolutely. You absolutely. Know, from so yeah, 100%.
From a health perspective, he's like, man, that I did not need that.
No.
So he was super happy.
He got
so
out
that,
clean.
That was
yeah.
That was good to see. But I was texting Brandon during the race. It was getting towards the end. I go, he wins this race, they're going to burn this place to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they would have stormed the track.
It's possible.
You know, they
would. Could you imagine? They would have hopped the catch fence in any way they could have.
Tore it down.
That would have.
You know,
maybe I don't know what that would have been like. That would have been crazy. I couldn't imagine. It's a way to give people an idea.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, there was 85,000 junior fans there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Tony, do you think if there would have been a few more cars on that restart to be able to push, he might have had a shot at that or no?
He said right after. He said, you know, his splitter was dragging on the right front. He said, my car was wounded. These guys knew it was wounded, and they weren't going to work with me. He goes, and yeah. I don't blame them.
Sure.
Know, you know, I wouldn't have pushed me either. So,
yeah,
you know, that's you know it's not going to you know it's not going to be as fast.
Work.
So,
yep.
But he's you know it's still a good run.
Absolutely, Tony. Only two playoff drivers in the top 10 and finish on the lead lap.
Brad and Denny.
Telling you that was crazy. You know. After the first wreck, you saw a big shakeup in, you know, the live playoff standings. After the second wreck, when a few more playoff drivers got in there, it kind of reshifted everything. And then after the third, I mean, you got, you know, 10 of 12 involved, you know.
Who's left?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't going to impact the playoff standings as much because of that.
Yep.
Got to see a few guys up front that unfortunately didn't finish up front. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Matt DiBenedetto led a few laps, which was awesome to see. Michael McDowell was running top 10, top 15.
He was running
majority of the day.
All day long. Yep.
And it was very cool to see Brendan Gaughan get to lead a couple laps. You know, his family and the casino and all that, you know, doing all that they've done for those in Las Vegas. So that was very
Vegas
cool.
Strong.
Absolutely. So, Tony, race two of round two is over. We go to Kansas next week to finish round two. Looking at the bubble, I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised in a couple. I'm surprised Kyle Busch. I'm surprised Matt Kenseth. I'm not surprised by Ricky or Jamie McMurray. Everyone was talking about Ricky Stenhouse. Oh, he's the plate driver of the season, which he was. I personally didn't have that gut feeling that he was going to win this one.
No, I didn't either. You know, I just to win three of them.
That's
you know, and the you know
that's a tough duty.
That's rolling the dice pretty hard.
Yeah.
So I that didn't surprise me that his winning streak ran out there. But I you know I'm not counting Kyle Busch out.
Oh, okay.
You know I think he's going to put on a clinic this next weekend.
Yeah.
And going to be driving with a little more conviction even than normal. So.
Like I said, I'm surprised to see him down there. The person that I would have expected to maybe see in the bottom four, just based on the way things have been going, had there not been these collective wrecks, would have been Denny Hamlin. You know, and Jimmy Johnson, you know, he's still in it, so, you know, you can't count him out at all there. Tony, if you had to pick who's out, who do you have out?
I'm going to have the guys that are there. I mean, it's Kenseth, Stenhouse, McMurray, but I'm going to throw Blaney in there.
You're going to throw. Okay. All right. I will. It's kind of where I was looking at. Wouldn't it be interesting if Kyle Busch didn't make it through? Could you imagine?
No.
That would be interesting. That would shake things up. If I'm Martin Truex, I maybe want that to happen. If I'm Martin Truex, I'm looking at him as my only viable threat outside of Kyle Larson at the moment.
Honestly, I think it's those three guys. But, yeah, it's you know, honestly, man, it could be just a bad pit stop. It could be a flat tire. It could be anything happen. And
one mix up, because you know the one thing, like, you know, you can pit under green at Talladega and not lose a lap. Kansas, you may not be that lucky,
right?
In that regard. So yeah, any little hiccup is not going to be easily recovered from there.
Yep. So he's got to be right on it.
Yeah. Tony, anything else from Talladega there?
No, just glad that they got the racing in, you know, glad that the good to see the stands filled and hopefully those fans come back.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how many of those wrecked race cars make it over to Junior's graveyard.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tony, you want to talk some silly season?
Yeah.
Todd Parrott out as crew chief for the rest of the season for Michael McDowell.
Yeah, they're starting their changes early.
They are.
Surprises me.
They're not taking that lightly.
Todd Parrott, I think they've done a very good job.
Really good job.
Honestly, I think those guys have done real well.
You know, Matt compared them as one of the guys, you know, in terms of going out there and competing against, you know. So they haven't had a bad season either.
No.
You know. So that's interesting. I wonder what's really going on behind the scenes there in terms of where they're looking to restructure.
Well, I wonder if Casey Kane's not going, hey, I want this guy as my crew chief, you know, and then get him in there and start working on some cars now.
Sure.
You know, you never know. But Casey Kane's, he's going to bring some weight to that team and,
yeah,
you know, with a little power there. So, you know, changes have to happen, I guess.
Sure. Brandon Poole might be headed to the 27 at RCR. Any thoughts on that there?
I've heard this a few times, and I don't know, maybe there's smoke, there's fire, but I've heard a few people mentioned with the 27 ride. So
the only thing I keep thinking of with all these rumors, and, you know, they are rumors, is Matt Kenseth, you know, still no rumor about Matt Kenseth, which, yeah, I find more interesting than the rumor of Brennan Poole might be headed to RCR.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that whole thing there. So Matt's pretty good.
Yeah, just, you know, a little bit. A little bit.
Know, still really good.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to wonder. So, like, you know, Matt mentioned Denny Hamlin talking about the finance, you know, financial side. But I mean, a team could bring in, you know, sponsorship with Brennan Poole, and they could run the team for a good chunk of the year for just what it's going to cost them to have Matt Kenseth there.
Sure.
You know, yeah, what I mean? So maybe that's what it's coming down to. So,
well, and that's where I look at, okay, is it, you know, do the drivers have a right to make the money that they make? You know, and this is the talk in all major sports. Are these you know, there's talk in Detroit about Miguel Cabrera's contract being out of control, him not performing, you know, and it's, you know, where's the line in that, and where's the line in spending? You know, it's okay, well, we can afford to pay the driver, but then, all right, well, maybe we can't afford to figure out how to get around the new standard pit gun that they're talking about. You know, yeah, where does the line get drawn, I guess?
Yeah, it's borderline out of control.
Yeah.
You know, I got to be honest with you. You know, just for me to go to speaking of Miguel Cabrera, like, you know, just take kids to a ball game, I'm out $300-$400.
Yeah.
Just to go catch a ball game.
Right. 20 minutes away.
Right. Yeah. Because of the price of everything, you know, is so far
beer,
out of control.
Ticket, but, parking.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you're paying a ticket price to park at most places.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And, you know, heaven forbid you eat or well, buy, yeah, a souvenir. I mean, you're, yeah, going to need to get a finance plan. You know, to do that. So
yeah,
it's out of control. So at some point there is a breaking point, and I think we're sneaking up,
we're getting
on
close
it.
To
it. Here's the thing, with so many, and, you know, we're not, you know, we're seeing decreased attendance in racing. We're seeing decreased attendance in sports across the board. There's so much demand for that dollar, and they've stretched us all pretty far. And, you know,
So speaking of that, so Tony, you know, and I'm sure most people know the new Little Caesars Arena opened up, right?
Right.
Do you want to know? So the Detroit Pistons moved and are playing at Little Caesars Arena with the Red Wings. A, let's say, mid-court side seat at the new arena for the Detroit Pistons, who haven't done anything since 2004, $300,
yep,
for a lower bowl side ticket.
Not for me.
Are you kidding?
Not
you know,
me.
You know, so it's... It's no wonder attendance is down when you have factors like that coming into play.
Even if you have the $300, they're not good.
Right, yeah, there's no the product
unless you're going
there
to watch Golden State beat up on us. That's,
sure,
that's the only reason I would go.
Right.
I can't imagine why, you know, you'd go anyways. But.
Yeah, yep.
Tony, TJ Majors out as spotter at Hendrick.
Yeah, so is this a first where the spotter change is part of silly season?
Right, that's interesting, right? Like, I don't remember hearing, you know, spotters and all that being part of the silly season. That's interesting, and I wonder if that's got to do with the fact that some of these drivers we just don't know and aren't hearing much on where they're going to go, that, hey, we got to have something to talk about, right?
Yeah, I wonder.
I mean, does that impact? I mean, that doesn't do much for me, to be honest with you. Like, okay, they're out.
You know, what's interesting, though, they did mention one of our other guests during the race when Ricky Stenhouse was moving towards the front. They mentioned Mike Herman Jr. They called him by name.
Yes. Know him.
Yeah, Ricky Stenhouse. Yeah.
Tony, you ready to go to work, sir?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith.
All right. Another edition of the Crew Chief Corner is upon us. Tony, we got two questions in today. The first from our friends over at the PETM podcast. Tony, how much of the decision in terms of what changes are going to be made on the car comes from the spotter? How much information that the spotter gives the crew chief can be and is easily digested into the changes they can make?
I think the spotter is critical, especially in a bigger track. The crew chief, remember, what he can see is the front straightaway, right? And that doesn't tell you a whole lot. The spotter is going to be able to tell you, hey, we're running great. We're gaining ground in one and two. You know, three and four, we're getting eaten alive. You know, and, you know, the driver may or may not be telling you, you know, it's just going to say whatever, it's loose or it's whatever. But that tells the crew chief, all right, that gives him more information. Good. That's where we're losing it. That's how we can make the adjustment on the car. So I think, yeah, it's good information.
And maybe not even so much about what they're giving about their specific driver, but the spotter can also say, hey, the 48 is running this line or doing this in turns one and two or three and four, and be able to give the crew chief that information to know, hey, all right, well, how can we compete with that or something along those lines, right?
Absolutely. No, it's critical information from the spotter for sure.
Tony, Mark Wiley at underscore NASCAR nerd wants to know, what's the outcome if they let the cars run without plates at a track like Daytona or Talladega? Would they be more spread out with bigger runs? Would they be pack racing at 220? What's the outcome with that?
Well, first of all, how did he beat you to the Twitter handle NASCAR nerd?
That's a very good question. Very good question.
I think it would stretch them out. I think the guys with the better with the wind tunnel time and the Hendrick motors and so, I think they would leave. I also think they would probably go airborne somewhere on the back straightaway. But there, you know, here's the thing, is it also creates, it's dangerous too, right? And it's dangerous for the fans and it's dangerous for the drivers going faster than what they already are, you know. So you got to keep that in mind. But you know, it's, you know, everybody is nostalgic about the old days, and everybody knows Bill Elliott ran 212 there and all that stuff. But there was also races where these guys won by 8 laps, and we don't want to see that either.
No.
So, you know,
no.
So there's a fine line there. But, yeah, I think it would stretch them out pretty far, actually.
Well, you know, and I think some people maybe wonder why they call Michigan the fastest track outside of Daytona and Talladega, and it's because of the average speed around the track. You know, Daytona and Talladega, they may crack a faster speed, but they're not holding that speed the whole lap.
Well, no, I mean, you know, at Michigan, they're hitting 220 going into turn one. No, they don't go 220 anywhere.
No.
You know, so that's why Michigan's the fastest track. In borderline, they need, you know, they need restrictor plates there. You know, it's
that'd be interesting for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, good question.
You ready for some lucky dogs?
Let's get lucky.
Tony, who is your lucky dog of the race weekend?
It's got to be Junior Nation.
It has to be, right? I mean, what kind of fans
would
we be?
And then we just found out too, they're expecting.
Yes.
They're expecting a baby.
Baby. Girl, I think, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Did you see the tweet he pulled up from like last month? He got a text from Landon Cassel. Did you see this?
Okay, so there's a backstory to this that I just found out about an hour ago. So there was some banter, if you will, about Landon and Dale Jr. about not drafting with each other. So Dale Jr. posted a picture of himself riding a bike and was like, oh, still no drafting help kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So they were going back and forth about, you know, And Junior had said something along the lines of a few, whenever it was, about Landon deserves a ride. He's really good. And then Landon retweeted, said, except, you know, at Talladega or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
That was back when the days when I used to draft.
Yeah, yes.
I used to say that. But no, he so Dale Earnhardt posted a text, right? Screenshot. Landon said, hey, my wife had a dream last night. She's psychic and had a dream last night that you're going to have a baby girl.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, and
I don't know.
And this is like early September.
Okay,
right. They had no idea that they were expected. They had no, you know, or maybe they did, but you know what? They didn't. It wasn't announced. Nobody knew any of this stuff.
Okay,
but his wife was right.
That's crazy.
Of course, Junior being Junior, he goes, hey, that's awesome. He goes, can she tell me if I'm going to win a race or finish in the top 10 or you know, where's he's like, no, her psychic limits that doesn't involve racing apparently.
Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
Yeah, it's got to be NASCAR. The lack of communication, like Matt mentioned, you know, ruined his day. You know, took him right out of it, where he could have been part of this conversation as well. And you know, it wasn't just him. There was some crazy stuff going on there.
Sure, Tony, I'm going with NASCAR as well, but for the fact that, for whatever reason, it's still deemed as a good idea to have this type of a gimmick race in the playoffs and impact the playoffs in the standings.
So, I like it.
I mean,
shake it up a little, man.
I guess, but I don't know. You don't have this type of a wild card in any of the other sports. You know, if you look at football, you got two teams that play on a 100-yard field, no matter where you're at. You know, and I'm not saying that all the playoff courses need to be the same, but
it's not like they've never run here before.
No, I get that. But should someone that messes up 12 spots in front of you impact your ability to make the playoffs?
It's racing, dude. Don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. You're right. 100%. 100%. You're right. No, it is racing. Yeah, but I honestly, I am so split 50-50. Yeah. On this one, on whether or not this track should be a playoff race.
Well, next year we're going to have the Roval.
And the Roval.
I saw the Goodyear tire test from the Roval, and that is a crappy track.
Yeah.
You want to see something that's crappy.
Well, watch, and that's the thing, you know. And here's the thing, you know, watch if they ever did take Talladega out of the playoffs, you want to know where I bet they'd put it? The last race before the playoffs in terms of, you know, who's going to make the playoffs, which that wouldn't be good either, you know? So I guess, I don't know. You're right. 100%.
What you're saying is there's no pleasing you.
Let's
get into some listener picks.
All right. Tony, speaking of listener picks, I've never kept track officially, but I think this is the most listener picks we've ever got.
Holy cow.
Yeah, there's a long list here. So Timothy at T Trip 14's lucky dog is Dale Jr. for making it through all those wrecks. His lap down is Chase. Another win slips by. Hugh at Bucky 515's lucky dog is Dega Speedway for getting a full house this weekend. Lap down, team owners, and millions in damaged cars.
Yes, there was.
Yeah, that's not cool. Jason at Jason Carter 03's lucky dog is Dale Jr. Lap down, people who think plate racing is a pure form of racing. Andrew at Kaz. Oh, shit. What's his name? Katsian. There it is. Lucky's dog. No one was injured over this weekend. And that's actually a very positive takeaway there, to know all of those wrecks between those two races and no one was seriously hurt.
Yep. I like that.
Lap down the whole race. It was stupid and not real racing. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's lucky dog, Keselowski. He missed all 200 wrecks. Lap down, Keselowski was the only car on the lead lap, LOL.
Basically.
Tori at CarolinaGirl95's lucky dog, Trevor Bayne, for his third place finish. Absolutely.
I didn't even see where he came from. You know, they came in, they went down the back straight, went into turn three. He wasn't in the camera view.
No. I know.
He had a real good three and four. I can tell you that because he went from sixth to third.
Yep. Hurt lap down, Junior Nation for being robbed again. Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's lucky dog, John Hunter Nemechek. He's in, he's out. He finished sixth.
Yep.
What happened?
That was cool.
That was awesome. Lap down, Tigers for trading JV. He's on fire.
Yeah,
I love it.
Justin Verlander.
He is on fire.
Had a great game.
Our friend Chloe at Yunker Motorsports, at Chloe Yunker, Lucky Dog Joey, continuing to fight and move forward whenever he had the chance. Side note, Joey Logano may be her favorite driver.
Maybe.
So I think she's slightly biased. I'm not sure. Lap down, 24, getting wrecked. Mark at NASCAR Nerds, Lucky Dog NASCAR, for making safe cars. Absolutely. They definitely deserve props for the safety features. Lap down, NASCAR, for pretending a playoff plate race is a good idea. I'm with you. William at the underscore Wilsons, Lucky Dog. Clay Greenfield wrecked twice and led and finished P8 in the truck race, which is awesome.
Wow.
Lap down, Galding should have tried to move on Brad Keselowski. I don't know. That might have been a disaster if he would have tried to move on Keselowski.
That would have worked.
Craig at shoots underscore smolders, Lucky Dog. Blaney's tire carrier, who almost got run over. Lap down, Chase's boneheaded move of the race.
No, I'm not blaming that one on Chase, man. I was watching that. I know. I'm sitting there watching it with my son. I mean, Suarez was all over the place. His car was loose as anything. And I said, he's like almost trying to wreck right now. And he went high, and there was an opening. Chase went there, and Suarez swerved down. Daniel Suarez at that point.
Our friends over at Loose Lugs, at Lugs Podcast, Lucky's Dog, Junior's Graveyard, and everyone that was able to finish the race. Lap down, bottom four of the playoffs. Noah at N-D-U-I-S-T-E-R. He sent me how to pronounce that, and I'm really bad with that. Lucky Dog Parker for awesome win in the trucks. Lap down every driver that failed to get to pit road safely. Our friends over at the My Opinion and Therefore Fact at MOATF Podcast, Lucky Dog Junior on him and his wife having a baby girl. Lap down NASCAR and them moving everyone to the end of the line after the first wreck for pitting. Again, miscommunication from NASCAR to the teams there, you know, so I agree with that one 100%. Steve at SC Linden's Lucky Dog, Gray Galding, lap down the 18. Hope he stays a lap down and misses it this week at Kansas. So there you have it. That's everyone's lap down and Lucky Dog picks of the weekend. Thank you to everyone that submitted. Please continue to send those to us. And our buddy Steve, I had to handwrite his down because he literally sent me his pick at 6 o'clock today.
Okay.
So I tweeted him and I said, all right, new rule. Cutoff time, 2 p.m. Tuesdays to get your pick in to ensure that you get your spot.
That's great.
On the show. Tony, ready for some odds?
Yeah, let's get odd.
All right. So going into Talladega, I set Ricky Stenhouse at plus 750. He came in at plus 1300. I put Brad Keselowski at plus 1000. He came in at plus 650, who was the second favorite, according to Las Vegas, going into the race. I put Kyle Larson at plus 1,000. He came in at plus 1,500. And side note, Junior came in at plus 300, which is one of the lowest odds I've seen all year. Everybody was betting on him, so the money line was adjusted because
Junior
of that
Nation
completely.
Junior Nation strong.
Was there, yes. Tony, going into Kansas, Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick have won the last four fall races. That said, I'm not setting an odd for Joey since he's not in the playoffs, but I'm putting Kyle Busch at plus 650 as the odds-on favorite, Kevin Harvick at plus 900, and Matt Kenseth at plus 1500.
Yeah, he needs a good run.
He definitely needs a good run. Our podcast pick'ems with the PETM podcast, Tony. I had the 20 who finished 14th. You had the 11 who finished 6th. Sherwin had Brad Keselowski who finished 1st, but Rusty had Kurt Busch, who finished 25th. So we nudged them barely there. So we now have a one-race lead with 5 to go.
It's tight.
It's tight. I sent them a tweet the other day asking if there was anything on the line, and I said I should have sent you this last week when we were all tied. So it might be just bragging rights going for this one, but that's bragging rights for the entire 36 races next year, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
Tony, who's your pick for Kansas?
I'm going with Kyle Busch. I think he's got to go. He's going to be cracking that whip this week.
Tony, it's taken 31 races, but I, too, am going with Kyle Busch.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. He's in ninth. He's not in. He needs.
He's got to go.
I'm going for broke because I need points, you know. So, yeah, I am more than confident in Kyle Busch's ability to at least get a top five here.
Agreed.
Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at laptrafficpc. Less than 300 followers, and we're giving away an awesome autographed shirt by the Truck Field from Eldora. We're still working on someone for next week, sir. We'll see what happens. Who knows? It might be a late. It might be a late show ad.
Stranger things have happened.
Absolutely.
And a big thanks to Matt DiBenedetto for joining us again this week. Always always worth a few laughs.
That was very cool.
Love having him on the show. So hopefully he comes back again soon. But yeah, thank you again for listening. Make sure you tune in each and every week. Otherwise, you will be laughed down.
See ya!